Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Find your Bible, please, and meet me in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 10. We'll focus on verse 45. It's the key statement about Jesus' ministry and purpose. Mark 10, verse 45. I want to focus for a few moments before we receive the elements of the Lord's Supper on rescuing. Rescuing. Let me illustrate that concept. Did you read the story about the New York subway rider named Wesley Autry? Wesley was in the middle of an ordinary day. He had his two daughters with him, but he had an extraordinary event happen at the New York subway. He had his two little girls with him. He's a construction worker. He had been in the Navy, and he noticed in front of him a man beginning to tense up, a young man in his 20s. He found out later his name was Cameron, but this young man started to tense up, and then he had a seizure. And as he seized, he stumbled and then tumbled down onto the tracks of the railway. Wesley looked up and he saw a subway train coming only a few hundred yards away. He had to make an instant decision. He let go of his girl's hands and he decided to jump down on top of this man who was having a seizure, a man he had never met before in his life, a man who was a perfect stranger. And he cloaked Wesley's body with his body. Now, somehow he knew that the clearance for a subway was 21 inches. So he pressed down as hard as he could on top of this man, and they made a stack that was 20 inches tall. He had a 1-inch clearance. The entire train went over the top of them. He got up. People jumped down to help. The young man that he helped, his name was Cameron Halliper. Cameron Halliper was taken to the hospital for the seizures, but there was not a scratch on him because Wesley protected him. They called him the Subway Superman for his rescuing heroics. The Subway Superman. And a reporter came up and he said, "Wesley, why did you do it? This man wasn't your relative, he was a total stranger. Why did you risk your life and even risk making your two girls fatherless?" And he simply said this statement. He said, "Everyone is worth saving. Everyone is worth saving." That's the great truth of God's Word. And that's what we're going to think about for the next few moments as we engage in taking the Lord's Supper. Everyone is worth saving. That's my goal, is to illustrate a rescue and then to elevate the rescue of Jesus, because the greatest rescue operation of all times was not Wesley. It was not knights in shining armor rescuing a damsel in distress. It was not the Marines showing up in a faraway island in the Pacific. The greatest rescue operation of all was Jesus coming from heaven to earth to manifest his love for you and me and rescue us that we might be in his family forever. You see, that's what we want to elevate in these next few moments. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "I've come to seek and to save that which is lost." And read with me now in Mark chapter 10, the purpose statement of our King Jesus. Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, the predicate or the premise is that we are in captivity. We are in bondage. We need rescuing. That's the point. So what does Jesus do? He comes as our rescuer. He gives himself. He pays a great price to set the captives free. And then it's illustrated in what happens next. If you begin in Mark 10, verse 46, Jesus is en route to Jericho, and as he is going, there's a man on the side of the road who is a blind beggar, the ultimate down and out of their society, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus simply calls out because he had heard that Jesus had the power to heal. We hear here in verse 47, he said, "Jesus, Son of David, please have mercy upon me. People told him, be quiet. Don't bother the master. He doesn't have time for you. But Jesus stopped and calling to him, they said to the blind man, take courage. He is calling for you, Bartimaeus. So he cast aside his cloak and answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. Jesus said to him, go your way, because your faith has made you well. Immediately he received his sight and began following Jesus on the road. You see, we've come here to elevate the fact that Jesus is the ultimate rescuer. He is all about taking us away from captivity and bondage and setting us free so that we can be part of his forever family. That's interesting. How does he do this? How does he rescue? Jesus does not use bullets and bombs. He does not use swords and spears and airplanes. He doesn't even ransom us with money. He did it with the cross. That's why we have here, embedded in this pulpit, a cross. You see, the cross is the bridge that connects sinful man and a holy God. The cross is his instrument, where he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we could be made right with God. It's at the cross, it says in Romans 5:8, that he demonstrates his great love for us and that while we were yet sinners, worthless, disobedient, ugly, and abandoned, while we were yet sinners, Christ gave himself for us to demonstrate the love of God. Well, my friends, I want us to do something else. I want us to not only illustrate rescue and elevate it through the life of Jesus, but emulate it. The Bible tells us in John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus speaking, as the Father sent me, so send I you. In other words, we are to join the rescue team. Why? Because everyone is worth saving. You've never met somebody that Jesus didn't die for. You've never looked into the eyes of a person that God does not love. We learn in Genesis 1:26 that we are created in the image of God. So every person has worth, value, and dignity. Every person has the capacity to live for eternity. So it is imperative that we join the task of Jesus and become part of his rescue operation. Remember what the scripture says in 2 Peter 3:9. The Bible says that God is not willing for any to perish, but he wants all to repent and come to have a saving relationship with him. Well, this is what we do. And I'm often reminding myself that I'm a nobody, telling everybody about somebody who'll save anybody. That's my goal. That's my ministry. And I would urge you to do the same. Let me give you a way you can do that. It's really a practical way. It starts with interceding for people who don't know Christ. We did it yesterday. As a matter of fact, there was a gathering at the train station. Almost 600 people came to have a prayer walk where we walked in downtown Montgomery. We gathered at the train station and prayed. And then we said, oh God, bring a revival. Bring this far sweeping spiritual awakening that will set the captives free. Shake up this city. Shake up our hearts and allow people to come to know you. Now, did you know we're going to start doing this on a regular basis right here in our sanctuary? Our prayer ministry, headed by Phyllis Ingram, is inviting our congregation on the first Wednesday of the month. And the first Wednesday of the month is this coming Wednesday, to meet here, right here at this pulpit at 12:10, and begin to pray to set the captives free. Pray for a revival. Pray for a spiritual awakening. And if you want to be part of emulating the ministry of Jesus, you come here this Wednesday, and we're going to start this war room. Have you seen that movie? Let's make this place a war room of God that ignites spiritual energy and power and faith as we come here to pray the strongholds down and pray the Spirit into people's lives to set the captives free. That's what we're going to do. Well, you can be part of it. Emulate what Jesus said, because Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Well, now it's time to celebrate. Let's celebrate what Jesus did. Look at Mark chapter 14 for a second. Mark 14, verse 22. This is the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. He gave it to them, and he said, take it. This is my body, And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood, the blood of the covenant, which is shed on behalf of many. Truly I say to you, I shall never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." And after singing a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives. That's what we've come to do, dear friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We've come to celebrate what God has done for us. As you celebrate, I want you to participate. But don't just take the bread and the cup. Let the bread and the cup take you. Let the bread and the cup take you into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ as we celebrate what he has done on our behalf. John and Stuart, if you would uncover the table, let me extend to you a very personal invitation to participate. At our church, we have open communion. And open communion is this beautiful opportunity for anyone to participate who has called upon Jesus as their Savior. We have a lot of people that watch this service on television. I would urge you to go get a little morsel of bread and something to drink. It doesn't make any difference. But don't just observe, participate. And as you participate, these elements will take you into the presence of God. Well, we're going to celebrate, but before we do that, we need to eliminate. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as Paul wrote to the early church, that they were inappropriately celebrating the Lord's Supper. They turned it into a debacle because it had become narcissistic, self-focused, selfish. Paul said, some of you have even fallen asleep because you have been flippant about these holy matters. And so he urges us to clean up, to cleanse ourselves. And how do we do that? How do we eliminate that wrong attitude? We do it through prayer. So let's engage now in a time of cleansing prayer. Dear Father, thank you. Thank you for your holy life, for your sacrificial death. Thank you for your validating resurrection and your compelling invitation to follow you and be part of your family now and forever. Lord, you gave the bread and the cup as an example for your followers. They're memory devices to transport us into your presence. And Lord, as we come into your holy presence, we want to ask that you turn on the searchlight of your Holy Spirit. As it says in Psalm 139, if there is anything that needs removing from us that does not look like you, an attitude, an action, a behavior, a reaction, a relationship. Oh, Father, we give you permission to prune it away so that we can look more like you. Now, Lord, as we take this bread and cup, allow us to be powerfully and compellingly reminded of all that you've done for us. We pray for this help in Jesus' name. Amen. And they took the bread. Shepherd of my heart.
come, and as they rage all around, I'll trust in you, shepherd of my heart. Giver of this life in me, you're what I'm living for. For all my deepest gratitude, you love me even more. So as I face the darkness, when I need the valleys, listening for my master's call, I'll trust in you, shepherd of my heart. I'll trust in you, shepherd.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Nancy. Jesus declared that he is the good shepherd, but he also declared that he is the bread of life in John 6, and he tells us whoever takes that bread shall never die. So they took the bread. During their last meeting together, the upper room, Jesus not only instructed them that the bread was his body, which would be his sacrifice. He would be beaten and bloodied and bruised and broken. And he did it for them. And I'm certain that every time they touched a piece of bread from that day forward, they were transported back to the upper room. They were reminded of the deeper meaning of the bread. And then he instructed them about the cup. He said, this cup is the Passover cup, but from this day forward, it becomes a picture of my blood. My blood, which will be shed on your behalf. My blood, which will constitute the new covenant, the new way that you can connect to God, because I'm going to take your sin on that cross. I'm going to shed my blood. He who knew no sin will become sin on your behalf so that you can be made right with God. I would invite you to make this cup a cup of commitment. Yes, that bread is a bread of blessing, but this is the cup of commitment where you say, yes, Father, I see your commitment, I receive it, and I promise to give it back to you. I will be completely and totally committed to you. And if you're willing to sign that contract, take with me the cup of commitment. Oh, please remember the significance, the deep symbolism of this sacrificial cup. It is the new covenant representing the shed blood of Christ, but for us, personalize it. Don't let this glide by you. This is the cup of your personal commitment. This cup is your contract. It's almost like ink in a well, and you dip down with your will and you sign it and you say, Lord Jesus, count me in. I will serve you. I will be part of the rescue team. As the Father sent you, He's now sending me. And if you're willing to embrace that part of the contract, would you take this cup and say, yes, Lord, I'm in. I'm on the team. And they took the cup.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.